it's hard to think about sometimes when you come up to the end of the things that you start. You know, how do you finish? Because you always want to finish better than you started. You know, I know Brother Jeremy works in carpenter work and such as that and everything else. But, you know, it's very important that when you're doing a job, especially if it's a woodworking job and such as that, that that you finish the job. Well, even today, now just finishing the job. but you want to finish the job in such a way that just as you began it, with all the desires of the perfection that you planned for it, you want to be able to complete it that way. And then you can have satisfaction about the job you did. A lot of the, you know, sometimes you don't make as much as you thought you could make when you're laboring. But some of the reward of that labor is standing back and realizing that you did it well. Yeah. Amen. And then if you ever pass it by and everything else, you can see and say, hey, I did that. And on our gas pumps in South Carolina, they got these little figurine things that if they've stuck on the gas pumps, it says, I did that. Yeah. Have y'all got them up here? Yeah, do you? I hope they got them all over the world. But anyway, when I see those things, I kind of smile a little bit and everything because I know he did. And so there's nothing funny about it except that everybody knows he did. And you got a King James Bible. In Acts chapter 20, if you'll turn there, Paul left this world and the churches with words of encouragement. And I've tried my best to preach this week so that you make some decisions that would help your Christian walk. You need to make some decisions about where you are right now in the light of where you want to be when you get finished. You're not going to do anything if you don't make commitments. Make a commitment. And then when you make that commitment, realize this right here, you'll never fulfill it any more than the desire and the spirit you put into it. And last of all, remember this right here. I don't care what it is that you start, if it's worth finishing, you got to put some dedication in that thing every day. You'll never finish well if you don't put a whole lot of dedication of yourself to what you have determined you want to do and accomplish for the Lord. You got to make some decisions. And those decisions got to be filled with your desire. But let me tell you something. The work that you put into it will bring forth that fruit. You can't do it on your own and in your own power. If it's for God, it'll take Him working in you and through you to perform that good thing you're doing. But God will gift you for it. If you really want to be used of God, there's not a person in this building that cannot be used of God. Because every one of us have differing gifts. That shows you how much we need each other. That's the way we started out this week. You know something? You're gifted different than I am, maybe. But I'll tell you this right here. Your gifts that God blesses you with and the capabilities that you have will do nothing but help my gift be able to bring forth fruit together for His glory. God never intended for us to do this thing alone. It's not a one-man army. No. This is not a one-man battle. Laboring together, we can do some things for God. Through the power and the help of the Spirit of God. I don't know if you've ever wondered about this, but when I was younger in the ministry, I wondered about this one thing in the King James Bible. I've read Genesis all the way to Revelation. I'm sure you have too. If you haven't, then commit yourself to do it. You know, next time I come, I'll ask you, of you, everybody get through. You read it through at least one time. It's so important for you to read the book. I mean, it's the only book God wrote. You'd think we'd be interested enough in it that we'd at least read it through one time. But in the book of Acts, chapter 20, look at verse 36. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. They all wept sore and fell upon Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all, for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. You realize this right here? That's the last paragraph in your Bible. You got paragraph marks from Genesis to Acts chapter 20, verse 36. There are no more paragraph marks in your King James Bible. People even said to me, I've had young guys go into ministry and everything else, say, Brother Baker, why? I mean, come on, you got. I mean, look at all the pages we got left. Not even another paragraph. Nope. I believe the punctuation is divine too. Do you? Yes. If you don't, I'll tell you what. You'd be surprised how messed up your doctrine will get if you don't follow the punctuation in the King James Bible. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Let me show you one example. Come to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, this one comma, just a comma, makes all the difference in the world to the doctrine of the second coming of Jesus Christ. If you take out the D.A. Reams Bible, Confraternity, if you take the Catholic Bible, I'll just say that right there, just take the Catholic Bible and read this verse that I'm going to read to you and we're going to read together out of our Bible, you'll see the importance of just one comma and how much it can make in doctrine in your Bible. In Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says this, verse 11. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Now the only people that really get troubled with that are priests that are offering up sacrifices right now for people's sins. Because our sacrifice has been made for us, right? It doesn't trouble us to read that. But it troubles all these priest people and people who follow priests who are making sacrifices for sins. Notice he said these sacrifices can never take away sins. Look what it says. But this man, speaking of Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. We don't need a priesthood offering up sacrifices. The sacrifice has been made and completed. And all you need to do is accept that sacrifice. And you know what? It'll give you peace from God. But look what he said. Verse 12. But this man, comma, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, comma, sat down on the right hand of God. If you have the Catholic Bible, this is what it says. Verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, comma, forever, sat down on the right hand of God. What's the difference?
Amen.
That means Jesus has sat down on the right hand of God forever. But that ain't so, y'all. Jesus is coming back again. And he's going to reign on this earth, and we're going to reign with him 1,000 years. That one comma out of place messes with doctrine like you can't imagine. And what they did purposefully by changing that comma. He sat down forever. No. He's getting up, y'all. Oh, yeah, he's going to get up one day like you can't imagine. All in the priesthood will scatter like a bunch of quail. So this paragraph, Mark, means something too. You know, they have tradition and everything else. Well, you know, one of the monks or something like that was on horseback or muleback or whatever he got him on. They got him on something. And he put all those paragraph marks in there while he was riding horseback. Man, what a miraculous man he was. You couldn't have put them paragraph marks where he put them paragraph marks if he was riding in a limousine, much less a horseback. Acts 20, Paul gives a farewell address. And at this farewell address, remember something. If you can't explain it any other way, say this right here. This is the last paragraph in Paul's life.
Amen.
Because it is. You'll see my face no more. That's what they heard. But before he said, you'll see my face no more, just we want to look at the words. Now, I don't know if we'll get to see each other face to face again or not. But if we don't, we'll see each other face to face one day for sure again. Because 1 Thessalonians and Corinthians and all, there's verses there that say that we're going to be seeing each other again. But if we don't, just in case, let me leave you with these words here. The heart of the verse is this right here. Verse 24 of Acts chapter 20. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's the way we ought to want to finish.
Amen.
If the last paragraph of our life is accomplishing that, you can say you finished well. In Acts chapter 20, verse 17, Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. When they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons. He's speaking now to the elders of the church, and he's rehearsing to them how his life that they were familiar with, as he's going to give them encouragement on how they can prosper through the gospel of Jesus Christ, but more than that, get the ministry fulfilled that God called them into. Brethren, I'll tell you what you ought to be interested in. You know, the Lord has given us a ministry here. Here we are, we're a church. Now, let's fulfill the ministry that God gave us to accomplish here in Hastings, Minnesota. Amen. Finish the ministry. And we ought to try to finish it well. And we ought to finish it with joy. You understand? It ought not to be a burden to us all. This thing, let me tell you something. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go in the house of the Lord. It's a blessing to go to the place where God's name is honored.
Amen. Amen to that.
That's right. What a privilege it is that God has blessed you enough that you have a place that you can come without persecution. Yea, rather encouragement. Encouraging one another. Just come to church, hear the word of God preach. I mean, sing these songs. Boy, I tell you, the choir's grown good. Y'all were kind of meek when I showed up. But boy, I tell you what, y'all letting it rip now. Yeah, man. That's right. And Mike, and I mean, he's got that guitar down, right? Yeah, man. I bet when he was lost, he played a wild guitar. Oh, yeah. Because I can see how wild he wants to get back in that guitar. But that's all right. But if you use what God's given you, the talent you got, Lee could play that piano wrong. Yeah, man. He could play that guitar wrong. Listen, y'all could be contemporary in just a couple of weeks.
No, we can't.
You know? But I tell you what, it's good to see. Isn't it good to see the ladies of the church and the young girls having the ladies and the mothers as examples and everything else on coming up and singing to the glory of God with all their hearts?
Amen.
What a blessing. And them, see, those young ladies singing their parts and everything else and such as that, Leah up there with them. What a blessing it is. And we've got a good choir in our church too. It's all adults though. But what a blessing this choir is. To see the young people involved right along with it. Keep it up. You got a good thing going. You can encourage each other and edify one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing melody in your hearts to the Lord. That's right. And these boys need to be gotten on to a little bit. Yeah. They need to realize that now, and as they get a little bit older and everything else, their voices are changing a little bit. But we need to get these boys, so as they change their voices and everything else, that they learn this right here. You got to be an accompaniment to the girls, it looks to me like. But you got to get down there, boys. Go outside and catch a few bullfrogs and swallow those things and get up here and sing. But a blessing for all of us to do things together, y'all. For the glory of God. It's worth it. And you'll see as it goes along, it's even more worth it. You'll see as God adds to you, you're going to see new people coming. You know? They're going to drive all the way. Yeah. Montana, if necessary. Come visit you. That's right. You can't ever tell them. Land's cheap here, sir. Dollar an hour. I mean, dollar an acre or so, $2, something like that. It's real cheap. Jobs are, plentiful and everything else. They start at $40 an hour. And look, you know, everything's cheap. Yeah. You want to finish well and happy with joy. How do you do it? Really? You know, Paul said to the Philippian church before he said to the elders I thought something very good. Come to Philippians chapter 3. Let me show you something. In Philippians chapter 3, as my mind comes to these passage scriptures in Acts, the Spirit reminds me that in Philippians chapter 3, Paul encouraged the church of Philippi too. He said, He said the things that he counted gain to himself when he was lost, and in the ministry of the Pharisees and such as that, and the priesthood and all that stuff. He said this right here. He said, what things were gained to me in verse 7, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, that's he's establishing what he gave up everything when it came to building up righteousness on his behalf. Gave it all up. Counted it but dung so that he could win Christ because and found in him. Not finding his own, looking when he was found in him. He didn't want to be found with his own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of faith by Jesus Christ. Okay? So he had his salvation settled, right? But there was one thing he's reminding the church of Philippi about that wasn't settled even in him. Just like he does in Acts chapter 20. Because it won't be settled until it's time for us to finish our course. So it has to do with me too. I feel like I might live a few more days. If the Lord tarries. But I don't care when it is. All I want to do is finish my course that God has called me for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to be found faithful and fruitful. That's what I want. That's right. I don't want to go like we said this week. I don't want to show up empty-handed if there were things that I could do that I could present to the glory of Jesus Christ for the grace that He showed in my life. And listen, and the things that He taught me and the things that He brought me through and everything else, just like we were trying to testify, the Lord brought us through not just good things, but troubling things too. But I'll tell you what a blessing in my heart if I can just finish this thing with joy and fruitful. Amen. In Philippians 3, look what he says. Now, he brings that up. He brings that to the forefront. Watch him. He does this. He says, that I may know him, verse 10, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. If it comes time for you to suffer some for Jesus Christ, don't shun that. Oh, don't just try to get yourself hurt or something. But accept it if God brings it on you so you can be partakers with the suffering of not only Christ, but the rest of the saints who suffer as well. There's a lot of folks that are Christians that are suffering in this world. Whoa, whole lot more than me and you suffering. I mean, all you do is hear the news and everything else, what's going on in China, what's going on in Iraq and Iran and everything else, and Afghanistan. Listen, there's still some Christians behind the lines in Afghanistan. And you don't tell me they're not suffering. They are suffering. And if you're a Christian in a Muslim land, you're suffering. But I mean, there's a lot of folks suffering more than we are. Amen. And who was it was talking about? They said that, you know, suffering was the fact this right here, that you didn't get any coffee before services. You're persecuted. You know, because there wasn't any cream. You know? Or your flavor wasn't there. Let me tell you, that's not persecution and suffering, y'all. Suffering is not gas at $4.50 a gallon. I'm not saying that when it comes to having to pay that it doesn't suffer you not to be able to spend more on yourself. But I will say this right here. It's a far way than being persecuted. You understand? But in Philippians 3, let me get this so I can get to Acts chapter 20, because I'm just going to give you my farewell address and try to give you the last paragraph if that's the way it is. He said this, that I may know him, verse 10, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I want to finish my course at the place where God set me up to finish. There's a divine desire for you to finish your course in a place that honors God and magnifies your Savior, Jesus Christ, and also edifying to others who see you depart. You know, I preached several funerals in, 54 years. And it's always good that whenever you do preach a funeral, you know something about the person you're burying. Yes. It makes me nervous when I preach a funeral with somebody I'm really not familiar with. You know? I had to preach a trucker's funeral one time. A brother had a father who was a trucker. And he said, Brother Baker, I live close to Savannah, Georgia. His hub and everything else that he went out from was Savannah, Georgia. And his dad had died, I think of a heart attack or something. And anyway, he asked me, his dad didn't have a church he was affiliated with in Savannah. He called me up and said, Brother Baker, he says, I wonder if you could do me something. I says, my dad has died in Savannah. And he was well known amongst the truckers there and everything else. And I wonder, would you be willing to preach his funeral? And I go, well, brother, yeah. For your sake, I'd be willing to preach his funeral. But now you got to tell me something about your dad. He said, well, he's a trucker. I said, okay. But I mean, was he a saved trucker? He said, well, my dad made a profession of faith, but you know, dad wavered and everything else and kind of wobbled on the axle some and such as that and everything else. And I said, okay, but did he profess to know Christ? He said, yes. I said, okay, all right, good. That's good. That helps me. But he admitted the fact that's right here that his dad was a trucker. And I know what that means. So I don't know what his handle was. I just know that even his son was concerned about his dad and his spiritual life when he left the world as far as where he was in Christ. Well, how do you preach a funeral like that? I said, do you expect anybody to be there? He goes, there are going to be people there, Brother Baker. Truckers are they're brothers who stick together real close. I said, are they? He said, yeah. Well, I didn't know it, but this guy, I guess he liked motorcycles too. Because the day that I showed up to the funeral, I've been praying for a while and saying, Lord, what will I preach at this man's funeral? I don't know him. His son is out. I've accepted this duty, and I want to make sure I do it right, Lord. I ain't going to preach this guy into heaven. But I'm not going to preach him into hell either. But by the time I got to that service, that Saturday, the Lord had calmed my spirit, and I knew what I was going to preach on. I got there, and really it was kind of astonishing, y'all. There was hundreds of truckers there. And these motorcycles started coming and everything else. Such as that. I didn't know if we were going to be raided or what. These Harley Davidsons, man, blah, blah, blah. And they started getting out there in the congregation too and everything else on the outskirts of it and everything else. And man, you talking about a rough looking crew. I said, okay. So I began the service. And I said, you know, when you preach the message of departure about a man whose son has asked you to preach his funeral, I said, sometimes you don't know what to say if you don't really know the person. And look, I'm not going to try to tell you what he was like and everything else because I didn't know him. And look, what a fool I'd make out of myself as a preacher if I start talking about him, talking about what a good guy was and everything else. Some of y'all might want to come up here and look in the casket and see if you're really and truly you came to the right funeral. I said, I can't preach this guy into heaven. But I said, I'm sure not going to preach him into hell. And I'm looking out at that crowd and I go, man, I'm glad too. Imagine stirring up that crowd. You know? But anyhow, I said, I'm not going to do that. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you preach the funeral. The Lord gave me peace about you preaching it. And man, they look at me like owls in a tree. Yeah, like a bunch of hoot owls. I said, okay. Point number one. The Bible says, if any man love God, the same is known of him. Y'all knew him. You heard him talk on the radio. You saw him whenever you went to the dispatch stations. I said, look at all you people. You all are surprised me how many of you guys really knew him and everything else such as that. But I want to ask you something. Did this man love God? You couldn't have missed it if he loved God. You tell me. If he knew God and God knew him, because did he express to you a love for God? If any man love God, the same is known of him. I said, I'll ask you another question. Was he ashamed of the words of Jesus Christ? Was he ashamed to mention Christ? Was he ashamed to mention the word of God that Christ gave? The Bible says, Jesus said, if any man be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of the Father with the holy angels. Matthew says in 10, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. I want to ask y'all something. Was he ashamed of Jesus Christ? Was he ashamed to say he was a Christian? Was he ashamed of the Bible and the words of the Bible? Or did he stand up for what's right and what the Bible said to stand up for? Where y'all got him right now? And I quoted the verses, and I won't have time to do it for y'all and everything, but the way I preached the message was to let them make the decision of where he was. And when I got through, some of them rough women and stuff like that, and men, they came up and were crying, shaking my hand, asking me to preach their funerals. They weren't even dead yet. I don't know how many people said this right here. It's the greatest message I've heard in a funeral of my life. Women, he said, I'm going to make my wife promise that when I die, she's going to call you up and take you, and you're going, and I guess none of them have died since then. But you know something, y'all? People should know where we stand. People should know if you love God or not. People should know whether or not this book means anything to you. And you'll never be able to keep it secret to them. If you really do love God and love his word, you won't keep it secret. In Philippians chapter 3, look what he says. So he encourages the church of Philippi and said, brethren, he said, verse 13, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Man, he's living above sea level. And he wants you too. He wants me to. Let me tell you something. I know I'm having to leave. But keep pressing on. Press on. Press toward the call of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, man, I don't know why, but when you start reading the Bible and start slowing down to read it, you pick up a few little nuggets on the way. You know, people get concerned sometimes about their rewards and stuff like that. And, you know, they think sometimes you got to do something really big for God. You got to be a missionary, or you got to be a preacher. You got to go to jail or something. And then you'll get a reward. That isn't the way the Lord is. I mean, get to know the Lord a little better than that. Jesus said this. This is what Jesus said now. That if any man gives but just a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple to somebody, it'd be like me going right now and I say, man, I tell you what, my throat is so dry, I'm thirsty and everything else. But Sean jumps up and says, Brother Baker, look, and he run off and come back with a cup of cold water. He just did it because, you know, I'm a preacher and I'm a brother in Christ. Just for that reason. And sits down. And then all of a sudden somebody in the congregation stands up and says, Brother Sean, you think you're going to get something for that. That's why you did that. Then I would, you know what I'd do? I'd just naturally reprove him and say, let me tell you something. You know what Jesus said about that cup of cold water? If you give someone a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, you shall in no wise lose your reward. Amen. What's the reward for a cup of water? What is the reward for giving someone in the name of a disciple a cup of cold water? When you own the universe. What is it God's going to give somebody who gave somebody a cup of cold water? I mean, he said there's a reward for that. What is the reward for a cup of cold water? You know what? It marveled Peter so much. Peter says, you know, Lord, we have forsaken all. Yeah, a crumbling fishing business. Both times the Lord asked him, have you caught anything? No. Man, even after the resurrection, he's asked them, they still ain't got to be any better fishermen. I don't want to fish with the disciples. I was fishing the other day with a guy and we were bass fishing and I was using this topwater plug and everything else, and I was catching bass with this topwater plug, and he had hung three nice bass. They came up out of the water and everything else and just threw his bait out of his mouth and everything else. And I said, man, they like that bait pretty good and everything else. He says, Brother Baker, you want one? I said, no. No, I don't want one of yours. He said, I got another one. I said, yeah, but I saw you lose three of them with that lure. And I've caught five. And mine may have not looked as big as yours, but guess what? Mine are in the cooler. You might be getting more bites, but I will come to get the fish. The cup of cold water. You know what Peter says? This fabulous fisherman with the great fleet. His dad and him and his partners in thing. Even after the resurrection. They're out there toiling. You know Peter said, I'm going fishing. And six other disciples said, we go with you. Man, he had a crew like you can't imagine. They got out there all night. They toiled. How much did they catch? Zilt. Jesus is on the bank. I don't even know that he's got a piece of string. But he's got fish on the fire. He says, children, you got any meat? No. I mean, it's just N-O. No, no. They're used to saying that to him. No. Well, Cash your net on the right side. Well, I'll tell you what, the Lord always knows where the right side is. They let them nets down, man, on the right side. Now they couldn't even pull it in. When they did wrap up with the fish, when they got it to bank, Peter's the one who's dragging it to the bank. Peter wanted fish, but the Lord knew where the fish were. Always remember that. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Because he's already done this before. And John goes, that's the Lord. And that's the Lord. P- Peter's out there fishing without like a lot of fishermen doing everything else. He ain't got nothing to cover his waist up. He's naked from his waist up. He grabs his fisherman's coat, jumps in and dives in the water and swims to shore. And then he said, Lord tells him, bring the fishes you caught. And he got 152 great fishes. And I like what it says, 152 great fishes. That's what I'm after, big old ones. Peter drags it to shore. Peter does. He said, bring some of them that you caught and bring them here. And now they're dining. Come and dine. Everything's going good. But that same man had said to the Lord earlier, when he talked about that cup of water, Lord, we have forsaken all and followed thee. And in my mind, I'm thinking, that sounds great, Peter, but you didn't have much to leave. I mean, really and truthfully, you ain't left much for the Lord, y'all. But the Lord doesn't reprove him one little bit. You know what he said? I mean, for a lousy fishing business, you ain't got enough money out of the business to even buy a new net. You got to mend the rascals. He said this, ye which have followed me in the regeneration. He's talking about the regeneration of the world. In the regeneration. He says, I'll tell you what your reward's going to be. You're going to sit on 12 thrones. What? You know, nobody stops him. You know Peter ain't going to stop him now. He's on a roll now, boys. Listen up. Sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And I say unto you that everyone that have forsaken lands, houses, wives, you know, anything, whatever you've forsaken, he said, shall receive 100-fold and life everlasting. You know, he throws the life everlasting on the end. You know, that's also. But I'm going to tell you this right. That living a life everlasting is a big deal, y'all. But he says, you know, you're going to get 100-fold. But he told the disciples, 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what you get for giving up a failing business? What has the Lord got waiting on you? Don't worry about forsaking things, y'all. Don't worry about it. You'll never forsake anything that the Lord's not going to bring up. From a cup of water to a house to a lands or family. Listen, some of your family is going to be the thing you have to forsake. You don't know. Because sometimes even your family is going to be that which opposes you the most. But remember something. He's going to pay you back so much farther and richer than you can ever imagine. Because he's God over all. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He don't just own the cattle of 1,000 hills. He owns the hills too. So in Philippians, Paul said to this church, just before we come to our closing in Acts chapter 20, He said, forgetting the things that are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. You're doing well. Stick with it. You in your Bible, reading your Bible more faithful now? Has any of the message that we preached this week at all stirred your heart up about anything that might be lacking that you can kind of pull the slack out of it? Now's not the time to slacken up. Now's the time to tighten up. prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, y'all. There's rewards for the righteous. And I'm not saying just serve for rewards. Serve because God saved you because of the everlasting life part. But while you're on your way, God's going to expect you to make some sacrifices and look, go through some troubles for His honor and glory. All you have to do is read 1 Peter chapter 1. You'll suffer some, but so are the other saints suffering. If they're trying to obtain the eternal glory that comes with salvation too, I'm going to tell you, you know what? You're going to have to suffer for that cause. It's going to cost you something. Well, listen, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the troubles or anything else that might come your way. Take advantage of the resources God gave you. He's got just a myriad of things that will comfort you in any situation of life. The scriptures are given to you according to Romans chapter 15:3 for your comfort. By giving you the examples of how the Lord delivered the Old Testament saints and the troubles they went through. The Spirit of God is given to you, and He's called the Comforter. Jesus Himself said He was a Comforter. Prayer is given to comfort you. All you have to do is read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The saints are here for your comfort. You understand? The scriptures are here. The promises of God are here for your comfort. There's so many resources God has given you to help you get through the issues of life and help you finish well and joyful when you do. Now come to Acts 20 and let me give you a few things Paul says about himself and speaking to the church of Ephesus and the elders there on his final paragraph of life. He calls them together, and in verse 18 of Acts chapter 20, when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying away to the Jews." I want to say something to you. Number one is this right here, y'all. Be consistent. Be consistent. He said to the church of Philippi, continue on where you've attained to. Now, be consistent in those places where you've seen that God's used you, and that place where that God blesses you and that he and things go well for you. Then be consistent. He said, you know, from the first day. I'll tell you what's wrong with parental guidance for children. They're not consistent. Mamas and daddies aren't consistent. Sometimes the trouble in the home is not the children's fault, y'all. It's the lack of consistency within the mother and father to continue on where God brought them in. You see trouble coming in your home? Then why don't you have a devotion and start having a devotion to help your children read portions of the Bible? Let them read it. And then y'all pray about it. You got problems coming up, marital problems or whatever else, you start it out in prayer. You start it out with a preacher. Well, then go seek some instruction, some spiritual instruction from those who love you the most. And let me tell you something. And then you know what you do? Then start applying the instruction. You don't need a psychiatrist. In most cases, you just got to repent over some stuff. You probably got yourself in trouble. I know that's rough. But most of the fault's us. Not living the way God told us to live. But in Acts 20, the first thing he reminds them of is his consistency. He said, from the first day that I came in Asia, what manner I've been with you at all seasons. So he says in verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't compromise the Word of God. Don't compromise the Word for anybody. We live in a great age of intimidation. For young people in school, but even as us as adults, it's unbelievable how much pressure there is on us to conform to this new Christianity. They want us all to be contemporary. They believe just like the liberals believe in about Washington, D.C. and the Constitution. They think it's a living document. We say the book is a living book. But what they mean by a living document is this right here is it could be changed and the interpretation can be changed. And you know what? That therefore, it gives us the right to start stretching things in different directions. Next thing you know, the Constitution is perverted. Yeah, look what school has happened to school, y'all. They perverted it now into a social ideology instead of an education. We don't learn as much about reading and writing and arithmetic now as much as we do this right here, how we can get involved in the march. How we can get involved in social stuff. You know something? Be consistent and don't you compromise that book. Because you know what? In the end, it's the book that's going to judge us. It ain't going to be this world, y'all. You say, man, my friends will reject me. Okay? Well, then find another friend. Yeah, get somebody that thinks like you do and wants to do like you do. Can I give you an example? I gave some example and everything else, but let me say this right here. When I was in the Blue Angels, they flew us all over the country and everything else and do air shows and all that stuff, and people really, they really looked up to you because you were an elite team. And it was very easy for people to come around and offer you things to compromise who you were. They invite you to their homes, buy meals for you, all kind of stuff and everything else. But I was a married man, but I was a young married man. And when I was on the team, there was another man by the name of Henry Matthews who was a young man too. I was a third class petty officer, and he was a second class petty officer. But when I met Henry Matthews, I knew that he and his wife Penny, I knew that they really loved each other, and they'd been married for not too long, but they're married a while and everything else. But you know what I did? And I wasn't even saved. I just knew I loved my wife. That's all I know. As you know, I was crazy about Pam. I've always been crazy about Pam, but I'm not going to get into that. But I went to Henry Matthews one day, and I said, Henry, I want you to know something, Henry. I noticed about your relationship as far as between you and Penny. I said, it's real close. I said, mine and Pam's is close too. I said, but you know what? I see these guys when they're going to these places for the air shows and everything else. Many of them aren't faithful to their wives and family. Easy to compromise, y'all. And I said, but Henry, I said, I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to, me and you, to hook up together. And Henry, I don't care how much we have to work or whatever it costs us. I want to be true to my wife. And I'll help you be true to yours too. When we go on these road trips and everything else and all the air shows, what we'll do is we'll stay busy. And boy, you didn't have to worry about if you was with the Blue Angels, stay busy, because they always had something to fix. And so you know what? Henry and I would work extra hours, long hours or whatever else, and whenever it came to motel rooms and everything else, sometimes they put two of us in a room together and everything else. He would always be my partner. And he and I worked and labored and listened and did good on the team. But you know what? There was a faithfulness and a bondage there right there, a bond with one another, where that we truly were friends all the time that I served with the blues. And he and I never had to be unfaithful to our wives. You don't have to have friends like Amnon had. He tries to tell you how to violate a young virgin. You don't have to have friends like that. They'll destroy your life. Absalom's sister. You don't have to do that. Jonadab. No, not Jonadab, but... it was. Jonadab. Yeah. Instructed Amnon. You know, evil. Lascivious way. And it wound up costing him his life. I'll tell you what, it'll cost you your life. What life you got. Find you friends that are looking for the same end that you are. Make them your friends. If it ain't but one, that's okay. One good friend is better than listen, a multitude of bad friends. Acts 20, he said this. Verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Stay committed. Uncompromisingly, stay committed. Stay committed to what God called you to. When you got married, God gave you a different ministry that would never exclude your wife and family from. He that is married careth for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Just as much as it says, a wife careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. It says, a man careth for things of the world, how he may please his wife. You know what? And the Bible says, submit yourself one to another in the fear of God. Fulfill that. God made you, gave you, sir, a helpmeet. Look it up in the dictionary if you can't do anything. Just look it up. Helpmeet. Someone that's going to help you reach a position that God Himself in His order has determined to be for both of you. The Bible says in the context of that, Adam was brought all the animals of the earth to him and he just named them whatever he wanted to call them. Well, that looks like an elephant. That's a hippopotamus. And you know that little creature right there? I don't know if he can make up his mind what he wants to be and everything. I'm just going to call him a duck-billed platypus. But there was no helpmeet for him. Not for God, what God had said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. So God took a rib, took bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and he formed that woman from that rib and brought her to Adam, and he called her, you know he said, woman, because she came out of man. He says, now this is a bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and the scripture says, therefore shall a man leave father and mother, forsake father and mother, and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Don't forget that. Don't forget. Be committed to whatever God has put you in and you've chosen that is lawful for you to be. You stay committed to that. Be faithful on your job. Be committed to the work that God allowed you to have. Do the best you can. Learn it. I always tell young people when they ask me about a job and everything else, I don't just tell them what I said to you. Find one that you really like so you won't ever work a day in your life. But I tell them this right here. When you get that job and that man agrees with you for what you are willing to serve for, you get in there and do the best and be worth at least what he hired you for. But if you can, be worth more. If he pays you for 8 hours... Don't be guilty of purloining. You know what that is? Lollygagging around whenever you should be working. You're stealing from him. If he hired you for 8 hours, work 8 hours. Yea, better to work 8 and a half. Show up about 15 minutes early every day. You'd be surprised how far it'll get you if you'll do it as under the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, man.
Amen.
Well, you'd be surprised how many people just want a man or a woman just to show up on time. Yeah, man. Be faithful. Look what he says. Verse 25. Now behold, I know that ye among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, I'm pure from the blood of all men. For I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Be a consistent witness and keep a clear conscience. Keep a clear conscience. Are there people that God has actually dealt with you about that you need to witness to? You know what? You're in a realm where I can't go. You're in a realm where others can't go. God plants you. And like I like what that lady said one time. She said all about people complaining about where they are and everything else. She just said, you know what? Just bloom where God plants you. And you'll be happier. Well, wherever God's put you, then let me tell you something. Keep a clean conscience about it. God's put you there as an example of Christianity. You say, oh, but God doesn't want servitude and everything else. Well, where would Naaman the leper be if it wasn't for the little maiden who was captured from Israel? You know what she did? She didn't say, whenever she saw that Naaman had leprosy and everything else, she didn't just go and say, you know what? This Syrian, he deserves every bit of it. I hope he dies with it. I hate him because of what they did to my mom and dad. Taking me away from my family. No. You know what she says? Would to God my Lord was in Israel. She said this right here. She said, knew the prophet of Israel. For he would you know, he'd heal my master of his leprosy. What a blessing. Look what that did. Look at that suggestion, the power of that suggestion that little girl had. You'd be surprised what you young children, the influence you have on adults sometime. You have strong influence of adults. Yeah, man. Use that ability that you have for influence to good.
Amen.
Don't be a brat. Be a believer. And a behavior. Obey your mom and dad. You'd be surprised how many compliments. Boy, isn't it nice to see somebody take their children in the grocery store. And when you take them in the grocery store, they're like little ducks in a row following mom around the aisles. But they keep their hands to themselves. But what is it like when all of a sudden you see mama come in with just two of them? And they got their hands on everything. And mama's saying, don't touch it, don't touch it. And little Johnny's knocking things in the aisle. Little Susie's saying, I want this. And she's trying her best to control them. I was in a grocery store one time that really impressed me that the woman was a Christian. She was there with her mother. And her son was with them. And the son was trying to find out how far he could go before he met capital punishment, is the way I felt it. He was in the fruit section and everything else and wanted to put his hands on every piece of fruit. And his mother told him, don't touch it. Keep your hands to yourself, Bruce. And grandma had him by the hand. And then she started doing the shopping, you know, for the cabbage or lettuce or whatever it was and everything else. Well, grandma had his hand, so he, you know how it is, going to take advantage of grandma. So he's stretching grandma's arm out there, you know, like a German shepherd on a leash. And he's wanting to touch more stuff. And she goes, no, Bruce, no, don't be touching that. You know, you heard your mama and everything else. All of a sudden, mama hears grandma saying something. And she just turns around. She focuses on Bruce. And she said, Bruce. He looks at her and she says, I think it's time for us to go to the restroom. He goes, no. No. She said, yes, I think it's time, Bruce. I think it's time for us to go to the restroom. And she goes over there. Grandma hands Bruce's hand to Mama. Mama takes Bruce. And Bruce, you can already tell his countenance has already fell into his little pants. But you can tell also she's fixing to rearrange that countenance and make it a lot higher in his life. I just stood right there and observed. I wanted to see if she was just going to bring back a bone, a piece of flesh, or just what was Mama going to bring back. When she came back, his face was all red. And you could see almost the trails where the tears went. Looked like an Indian going onto the reservation. Trail of tears. His mouth was down. She had him by the hand. She walked over to Mama and said, Mama, I think he's okay now. He was okay. Because he grabbed Grandma's hand. He was glad to be in her hands, as a matter of fact. He was glad to be released from that woman out of that bathroom. He may have used the bathroom. But I'll guarantee you one thing. She was giving him help on how to use it. You know what I did? I walked right up to that woman. I said, ma'am, I said, I want to tell you this right here. I appreciate the illustration of how you care for your son. And even though he's a little bit unruly and everything else, what a blessing it is to see a mom that cares enough that she'll put him in line and train him the way he ought to be trained. And I said, God bless you for it. She just smiled so big and she said, thank you. Bruce, I didn't see him smile no more. I don't know if he smiled all day. I remember our wives in church when we were raising our children, that they would say to the kids in the grocery store, okay, but remember something, when I get home, I'm going to tell you daddy and he's going to give you time out. They perk right up. I'm going to go touch another thing. She says, too late now. Daddy's going to give you time out. Because the paddle that hung on the wall was called time out. Yeah, and some of them need a little more time out than others. I know it's a rod of correction. I realize we live in new days and such as that and everything else. But I'm going to tell you this right here. Some of them need their rear ends busted when they rebel and manifest a stubborn spirit. Because I'll tell you what, God won't let you get away with it. You may think this right here, like some people do. Yeah, well, I'll just be real lenient. And you know what? God will be like me. He ain't like you. He ain't nothing like you, as a matter of fact. When it comes to correction, he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Acts 20. Let me close. Keep yourself clean with your conscience. When God speaks to you about witnessing to someone, you seek for the opportunity to do it. Whether you give them a gospel tract for a time, but listen, that's not even good enough. I've noticed this right here, that when God deals with me about witnessing to somebody and everything else, he usually wants me to back that track up with an explanation or instruction of what it's really trying to tell him. Pray for the opportunity to witness to them. Have a clean conscience and be pure from the blood of all men. Then Paul closes by saying this. He said this right here, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. I want to say this right here. Be cautious. Be careful who you make your friends. And especially in the ministry. Be careful what churches you fellowship with. Make sure that whenever you do go to church, You go with like-minded saints. Don't violate the needs of your own home church. Be faithful to it. If someone says, look, I'd like for you to go church with me and everything else, and such that, I'm not saying you can't ever go. I'm just saying this right here. It should be few and far between trips like that. Yes, you should try your best to bring them. They're going to try to bring you. But bring them so that they can hear the instruction and the right instructions of the gospel and the life that God wants you to live. Be cautious about who you fellowship with. You know what? Don't you invite people into your house. You're warned about that in 1 John. Don't invite people in your house that do not bring the doctrines of Christ into your house. Don't invite Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, I don't care how nice they are, people of other religions. Don't bring them in. Don't bring them into your house. They'll take away your rewards, and next thing you know, when they leave, you'll say, God bless you. But he that biddeth him Godspeed is but taker of his evil deeds. That's what he says. And you could lose your rewards over it too. You know why? Because there's only one gospel that saves, and that's the one we've been told to preach. Then notice, if you will, be commendable. Be commendable. Paul says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst all them which are sanctified. You know what? Stay in this book. Paul told Timothy to continue in the doctrine. He told him, come, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and look what he says here. 1 Timothy. Let me see. Is it 3? Chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, is it? No, it's chapter. It is 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. He tells you evil men in verse 13 and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Stay in the right church and stay in the right book. Get sanctified. You need to separate from not just some people, but you need to sanctify yourself and separate yourself from some places that you may even go and frequent that will make you compromise your convictions. You can't just go anywhere and it not affect you. It will affect you. Be careful. I went to a baseball game one time. And I'm not against baseball, you don't get me wrong. I'm not against baseball. I went there because I wanted to see a ball game, a professional ball game. I couldn't believe that when I got in the bleachers of that professional ball game, how much people drank beer more than they watched baseball. People drinking beer and eating them hot dogs and everything else, and no shirts on or anything else, bodies painted with stuff and everything else. They call us fanatics? You got to be kidding me. Those people that go to those games and stuff are nuts. Yelling, screaming. The pitcher make a mess out of one pitch out of 90 pitches and everything else. They curse him out from the stands. I've seen people want to throw things at them. But I'm going to tell you, we got no place for that in our lives, y'all. There's places we don't need to be. There's places on that phone you don't need to go at all. Stay away from it. It'll corrupt your mind. It'll corrupt your mouth. It'll corrupt your morals. That's right. You get around people that curse, next thing you know, you'll say a cuss word. You get around people immoral and such as that and everything else, next thing you'll be thinking like that too if you're not careful. Stay away from those websites. They're horrible. They'll damn your soul. And they'll destroy your Christian fruit beyond any shadow of a doubt. I can't tell you how many preachers that I know that are out of the ministry today because they got on pornography. You say, no, preachers ain't going to get up. You'd be surprised. There's a manifold bunch of preachers who are out of the ministry today because they got hooked up in pornography on their own phones. Get you a flip phone. Do they make them? Do they make them anymore? Yeah, buy a flip phone. Pay for it weekly. Better that than you pay for it to the judgment seat of Christ. But let me close. Look what he says. In Acts chapter 20, he said, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst all them which are sanctified. Keep yourself clean and you'll have a reward. I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Let me just leave it with this. Let me tell you, be charitable. Have a tender heart. You have a tender heart toward those who are suffering. God will remember it. Pray for people that are less fortunate than you and going through some real troubles. And listen, and if you can help them, help them. That's right. I've met people already in this church right here who go to this church and everything else that can use a helping hand. And I've seen the reaction of this church through your own pastor and others, how that you don't just pray for people, you actually extend the help that they need. Amen. You know something? The Lord is honored by that. Amen. You stretch your hand forth to the poor, the Lord will repay you again himself. In Acts chapter 20, be charitable. Be charitable. Then comes the last paragraph, verse 36. You know why? Because that's the last paragraph of his life. Because the next time you hear about Paul, as far as the position of saying goodbye, he's saying goodbye to Timothy. And he said, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. That's what he wanted in Acts 20, wasn't it? I finished my course. He said, you know something? I kept the faith. Man, that's going to be so important for us, y'all, to be able to say that. And you know what? What's so good about it is that we know what he said was true. Man, I've gone through cemeteries, and when I went through there and everything else, I've seen the epitaphs of them. And I saw one time an epitaph that had just those words. He fought a good fight. He finished his course. He kept the faith. And it wasn't him talking. It was those who had it etched on the tombstone. Well, I'll tell you what, y'all. What a good testimony for people that you know and love, that they weep when you go because they truly miss you for the edification that you brought to their lives. And the true Christianity that you manifested to their lives. And they won't ever forget you, y'all. Let me tell you something. Be tender-hearted. That's right. Have a tender heart. Be charitable. If you can help somebody, you help them. The Lord will reward you for the help you give them. But don't do it just for the reward. Do it because you're supposed to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Do good unto all men, especially the house of faith. Pray for them. You'd want them to pray for you. Pray for them. Put them on your prayer list. And you know what? When you start your morning or day or afternoon and everything else, don't forget them. Just write their names down. Write their names down. And then you won't forget them. And then just put it in your Bible. And then you know what? Just pick it up. Your list is going to grow. As you live for Christ, you're going to find out this right here, that your list is going to grow for those that have need of prayer. You know something? And when it does, so will your spirit grow. It won't be just your list. It'll be the spirit that's in you that lift you up too. God's been good to us. I thank for y'all, every one of you, for being so faithful and coming to the meeting. I've enjoyed it so immensely. So glad Sister Baker was able to come again. My granddaughter's here coming too, and such as that. But glad to meet new folks. Coming visiting from out of state even. Come join us. And then look here. And the new ones that are fixing to show up. Man, if we can't win them, we'll birth them. You know what I'm talking about? We'll not only born them again, we'll born them first. What a blessing your pastor and his wife are to the ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I get through, I'll have to call Dave Spurgeon. I'll tell Brother Spurgeon, because he knows I'm coming and everything else, but I'll call him and I'll say, Brother Dave, it went good again. And he'll say, I know, I told you, Brother Baker. I said, yeah, that's right. That's right. You know why? Because we know it's going to be good when we get around y'all. It's going to be good. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Thank you for hearing. And listen, if we ever get to see each other again, I just want to hear that of your affairs, that you're standing strong for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that you're walking in that faith consistently and faithfully. You know, I'll be praying for you. I will. I won't forget you. Please don't forget us. We'll be down in South Carolina. You ever come down that way? Boy, we'll treat you like kings and queens. Yeah, we will. We'll cook catfish. Yeah, man, we'll cook catfish and home fries and in the morning for breakfast and everything else. Now, when I get up here, I get healthy. Because Sister Teresa, you know, she gives me, we ate granola for breakfast. Yeah, man, And I'm not saying that granola's good for you and everything else, and I eat that granola and all this other stuff. Everything in the refrigerator is G-O or some Joel, something. You ain't got it. You ain't got nothing that's bad for you. Everything, man, is organic. Everything's organic, even the soil in the front yard. Look, everything is organic. And so I get healthy and everything else. Now, when I get home and everything else, my grandkids are going to say, Grandpa, you're going to fix breakfast for us? And I say, yeah, you know what we're going to have? Buttermilk biscuits, sausage gravy, and scrambled eggs. Yeah, prayer. And then we're just going to pig out. So don't wait too long. Call me back so I don't die. Yeah. They say thin is in, but Jeremy, fat's where it's at.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Y'all be faithful. Pray for us. Let us be counted faithful when he comes, y'all. Let's grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's don't waver. Let's don't back up. Let's encourage more people to get what we've got. Come on, there's no reason in the world why we shouldn't be happy. Look at what we've got. We've got each other, y'all. We got each other to lean on. We got the Holy Spirit to lean on. We got the Word of God to lean on. We got the Lord Jesus Christ making intercession for us to lean on. We got the Father. Jesus said when about prayer, you know what he said about prayer? He said, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask that you may receive. And he says, and I say not to you that I shall ask the Father for you, concerning you. I'm not going to ask the Father to hear your prayers. All this stuff about this Mariology and stuff like that. You know, Jesus isn't pleading with the Father and saying, Lord, Father, please hear Sean. I know he's a mess, but Father, please hear a prayer for him. No, you know what he said? He said, I'm not going to do that. For the Father himself loveth you.
Yes.
Because you believe that I came forth from him. You're believers. The Father has entered into a new relationship with us, y'all, and he loves us too. We got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and the Church of Jesus Christ and the Bible. Oh, look at all the things we've got, man. Take these resources to the bank. Yeah, man. You're better off than you know you are. There's no excuse for us not to bear some fruit for his glory. So pray for us. In my old age, as I'm getting older now, as I get older and Sister Baker gets older and everything, there's verses in the Bible and Psalms about how to bring forth fruit in old age. And you know what? I kind of added to it a little bit this week. You know why? Because the older people are supposed to encourage the younger. So if I don't do anything else, let me encourage you. Keep on keeping on, man. Fight the good fight of faith. It's really worth it. Father, thank you for the day. Yea, the Lord. Thank you for the week and the kindness and hospitality that has been shown this preacher and his wife and family, dear God. We owe truly a debt. But Father, we ask you to pay it. And ask you, Lord, that you'll bless this church in a special way for being so good to us and watching over us, and especially the pastor and his wife, dear God. What a blessing it is to be around Brother Bob and Sister Teresa. There's such, you know, some, Lord, truly they are the glory of the church. Because, Father, the example of the life that they portray. I pray, Father, that you bless them. Bless the families of this church in such a way, dear God, that they recognize it's from the hand of God that's doing it. I pray that you'll bless us with fruit. Help us to be found faithful at your coming. And, Lord, I pray and ask you to give us a safe journey home, back to our families and all in South Carolina. And while we're away from our brothers and sisters in Christ here, watch over them, dear God. Dear God, watch over them for the good. And bless them. And correct us all when we need correction. Get us back in the right way. And dear God, help us all not to forget each other in our prayers, but uphold each other. So dear God, you can bless us all for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.